you, Lord. Oh, we're so thankful for that picture of a father just waiting with open arms for his sons and daughters to run toward him, to get close enough to feel that warm embrace. But we know there's no feeling like being in your embrace. There's nothing that can compare to the closeness and the intimacy of the presence of God. We sense that this morning. We feel that this morning. Lord, my prayer right now is for anyone that's been feeling distant from God, anyone that's feeling for whatever reason estranged from God. Lord, my prayer is that indeed they will feel your love. They will feel the peace that comes from your embrace this morning. Lord, we thank you that you have promised that you're there for us. That if we would come and confess our sins, that you are faithful, you are just, you will forgive us our sins, you'll cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, we sense just a cleansing taking place in living rooms all over our city, Lord God. Just a wonderful sense, that just that washing that comes from being in your presence. Lord, we pray too that that cleansing, that washing would come as we focus on your word. Speak to us this morning, we pray, Lord. We pray, Father, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, my God, my Redeemer, I pray. Amen. Amen. Wow. It's just so good to be close to the Lord. You know, where you are right now, he is there. The Lord has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. He's with us. And my prayer is that you are feeling that same sense of the presence of God, the love of God that I am feeling myself as the Father is just reaching out, reaching out to us. And so it's my privilege to be able to dive into the Word again this morning. And last Sunday I talked about Psalm 96 and the first four verses, and we're going to go there again this morning. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 96, I'm going to read the first four verses, and I'm going to be reading them from the English Standard Version. Most of the verses that I'll read to you this morning will come from the New Living Translation, but these particular verses, as I did last week, I'm going to be reading them from the English Standard Version. For anyone that perhaps didn't hear last week's message, the first Sunday of February, we call it Vision Sunday here at Dream Builders Church, and really it's about us just refocusing on what God is saying to us as a body of related believers, as a community of faith, and just moving forward to fulfill the mission that he's got for us to build lives and to transform communities in this city and beyond. And so Vision Sunday is really about just saying, okay, while we're on mission, what are some of the things we expect to be happening or expect to be seeing taking place in us and through us as a community of faith? And so that's what we were doing last week. You can certainly find that message from last week on our webpage, dreambuilders.church, and look for the podcast at Dream Builders Melbourne, or our YouTube channel, Dream Builders Church Melbourne on YouTube, and last week's message will also be there as well. Here we go. Psalm 96, verses 1 to 4. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Excuse me. Thank you, Dave. You are so kind. Thank you so much. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. The words declare his glory in verse 3. It says, declare his glory among the nations. Those words, declare his glory, are going to be a focus for us as a church in 2021. And so, if we're going to declare his glory, let's ask ourselves a question. What is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? What is it that Moses asked to see? You know, in Exodus 33:18, Moses said this, then show me your glorious presence. He says to God, show me your glorious presence. So, what is the glory of God? Well, one definition I've read is this: the glory of God is the magnificence, worth, loveliness, and grandeur of his many perfections, which he displays in his creative and redemptive acts in order to make his glory known to those in his presence. There's a lot in that particular description of the glory of God. But I need to say, looking at this subject, that trying to describe the glory of God is virtually impossible. You know, it's like trying to describe the word beauty rather than the word ball. If we think of a soccer ball. Beauty, ball. Ball is not so difficult to describe, especially if we say it's a soccer ball. We know that it's round. We know that it's leather, and then there's air inside it, and you know, you kick it or you head it or whatever. You can actually describe that. But if you're to describe the word beauty, that's not so simple, because you don't have a single object that you can be defining, because there is beauty everywhere. And when you can try and describe beauty in one particular asset, maybe in creation, but then you're trying to describe beauty in a person you love, or you're trying to describe beauty in God and his nearness to you. And you know, that word beauty doesn't just have a nice little simplistic answer to it, because of the many and varied facets of it. The glory of God isn't just a feeling or an event we read about in the Old Testament. It's actually a spiritual tidal wave of everything contained in the character of God. That's why it's so difficult to actually define or to describe. But if we're talking about it as you know, everything contained in the character of God, if we're going to talk about the glory of God, everything contained in the character of God, well, let's take a brief look at some of the attributes of God's character. God is loving. God is faithful and righteous. God is powerful and mighty. God is sovereign and just. God is compassionate and gracious. God is good. God is holy. God is forgiving. God is merciful. He is our refuge and our help. God is with us. And I can tell you, the list can go on and on. As we read the Bible, we see God revealed, or we see that God revealed his glory and his presence in many and varied ways. Just a couple of those ways, let me touch on them. Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 and 35 in the New Living Translation says this: "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." You know, the glory of God, the presence and the power of God, it's all, the character of God is all sort of revealed here in something that was visible to the people at the time, and they described it as a cloud. A cloud. I don't know if you've ever climbed a mountain high enough to kind of be in the clouds, but it's an interesting kind of feeling when you're in that sort of place. Well, these people saw something. The presence of God was kind of physical and visible to them. How powerful would that be? Moses couldn't even enter the tabernacle because of that presence and power of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the first three verses, it says this: "When Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burnt up the altar, offerings and sacrifices. Burnt up offerings and sacrifices. And the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because of the glorious presence of the Lord that filled it. And when all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glorious presence of the Lord in the temple, they fell down on the ground and worshipped and praised the Lord. He is good. His faithful love endures forever." That's what they were saying. They saw fire come from heaven. Again, they saw this cloud. And it was just so powerful that they just had to fall to the ground and declare how amazing God is. The glory of God. We can actually feel it. We may not see that, but we could. God is able to reveal to us, even today, what He revealed to His people then. He could certainly do that. How He chooses to reveal His glory is up to Him. That's for sure. But our responsibility is to be aware that His glory fills the earth. And that His heart is that people would see and recognize and know who He is and acknowledge Him. You know, the glory of God is also revealed in Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, it says, "For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw His majestic splendor with our own eyes. And when He received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to Him, 'This is my beloved Son, who brings me great joy.' We ourselves heard the voice from heaven, and we were with Him on the holy mountain." You see, the glory of God was revealed in His only Son, Jesus. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He brings me great joy." And the disciples said, "We heard the voice of the majestic, glorious God declaring the glory of God is upon Jesus." Those very same disciples were told, as I shared last week, that their responsibility is to bear witness to Christ, the one who reveals the glory of God. And so it is that the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ have a responsibility to declare His glory, to bear witness to Christ. Proclaiming God's glory to the people of the world, it's not only a command, as I said last week, but it's a supernatural overflow of a worshiping individual and a worshiping community of faith. And so we have this responsibility to continually position ourselves to be in a place where we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and he declared the glory of God, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we too can declare the glory of God. We bear witness to Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul said to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 19, be filled with the Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself and making music to the Lord in your hearts. So this psalm, Psalm 96, talks a little bit about how we can declare the glory of the Lord. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul says, there's something within you that's going to want to sing. The psalmist says in Psalm 96, verse 2, that we sing to the Lord. And in doing so, we bless his name. Singing is a response of the joy of the Lord within Christ's followers. It's a natural response of being filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're filled with the Spirit, joy is within. If we're filled with joy, the natural thing is that we just want to sing. Want to sing of the wonder and the glory of our amazing God. As I said last week, this kind of singing is not just about literal singing. It's about an attitude or a posture where the way that we live actually declares the glory of God. The kind of singing that glorifies God is not just singing when things are going well, but a singing spirit when things are not going as we'd like. On Friday, I sent an email out to our church family just saying, looking forward to Sunday as I continue to preach on Psalm 96 and looking forward to having you in the house. And while I was typing that email, there apparently was a press conference. And in that press conference, it was saying everything he just wrote in that email is not going to happen. I'm like, how dare someone prophesy that over my life? Anyway, we had to pivot and change. And so here we are, obeying the laws of our state at this point in time, in that a small group of people are allowed to broadcast a live church service, and that's why you're hearing this message. I didn't really feel like singing when I got text saying, your email is just irrelevant. I didn't feel like singing. But that's when we are meant to sing. That's when we are meant to glorify God. You know what, God? It doesn't matter what's going on around about us. You're still God. You're still worthy of honor and praise, and you are still going to be glorified no matter what. Your word is true no matter what's going on around about us. You know, we can't afford to lose our song at any time. God's put a song in our heart. We cannot afford to lose that song at any time if we're going to effectively declare the glory of God. We declare the glory of God through singing and a posture of singing and an attitude of singing. We actually declare the glory of God more in the times when people don't expect us to be singing than we do when, well, of course they're happy. But you see, the Spirit of God transcends anything else. There is no circumstance that can overcome or overwhelm the glory of our God. We can't afford to lose our song at any time. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 14. I want to just want to demonstrate to you that we can sing at any time. Let's read this, Mark 14, 17 to 26. In the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12. As they were at the table eating, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, one of you eating with me will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one asked, in turn, am I the one? And he replied, it is the one of you 12 who is eating from this bowl with me. For the Son of Man must die. And the scriptures declared, as the scriptures declared long ago, but how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It will be far better for that man if he'd never been born. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it, and then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take it, for this is my holy, or this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it, and he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it in the new kingdom, or in it new in the kingdom of God. And then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. That's the thing right there. And then they sang a hymn. Jesus had just told them everything that had been prophesied by the prophets, that there would come the Messiah and that he would actually suffer and die to take upon himself the sins of mankind. And Jesus was basically saying what the prophets have prophesied is going to become a reality right now. And then they sang a hymn. How could they sing in that situation? You know, that was the time, obviously, of the Passover, the season of the Passover. And unless Jesus and his disciples ignored tradition, Jewish tradition of the centuries, unless they ignored it, the hymn that they sung was from Psalms 113 to 118. It's tradition. And if you look at those Psalms, Psalm 118 in particular, there's words like this in it. Verses 22 and 23, it says that the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. They sang those words. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. Psalm 116 and verse 15, if they were singing this hymn, which I believe they were singing these kind of words. The Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die. Psalm 118, verses 6 and 7 says, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. This is Jesus singing these words. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. Verse 17 of Psalm 118 says, I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. As they were singing the hymn in the midst of all the bad news to the disciples, like, what do you mean you're going to die? In the midst, they sang a hymn. They were singing about God and his amazing love and passion for individuals. You know, when I think about what was going to happen to Jesus, his arrest, his torture, the crucifixion, I try to put myself in that picture as kind of one of the disciples. And I'd be thinking, you just said, let's sing a hymn. We're going to praise him for what? We're going to give thanks for what? How on earth do you expect me to sing with you right now? But Jesus said, come on, let's sing a hymn. Let's sing a hymn. Let's follow the tradition of the Passover. When we think of what he was facing, it's hard to understand how he could choose to sing. Singing would probably be the furthest thing from my mind in that situation, yet Jesus sang. Jesus and his disciples did not lose their song. In Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, it says this: around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. And suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Paul and Silas were stripped. They were beaten, severely flogged. They were thrown in prison. They were shackled. What does anyone do in this kind of a situation? What does anyone do to respond in this situation? Well, if it's me, I'm probably going to yell. I'm probably going to scream. I might even swear, being an Aussie. I'd probably seethe with anger and get all bitter and twisted. I might even be tempted to say, God, why are you letting this happen to me? I might lash out. I might retaliate. I might even be a sook and cry. I might even go into deep depression. And you might do the same. These might be reasonably natural responses. But that's not how Paul and Silas responded. It says they prayed and sang. They prayed and sang. I guess they prayed for grace to go through what they were going through. I'm sure they would have been praying for the salvation of their persecutors. That's just seemed to be how these guys responded in these times of persecution. But they sang praises to God as well. And they did that because they knew they were called to bear witness to Christ. They sang loud enough for other prisoners to hear them. This is what they did. They demonstrated joy despite their circumstances. They were singing despite their oppression. Paul and Silas didn't allow what they were going through to silence them. We live in a world where the world is trying to silence God's people. They did not allow all that was going on to silence them. They knew that their Redeemer lived. They knew that the Lord was with them. And the Lord was in it with them. They just knew this. The prisoners and the jailer couldn't keep them from praying and praising God. And here's the result, supernatural. There was an earthquake. God heard their prayers. God heard them singing. God responded in a supernatural way. You know what? If we want to break free, if we want the chains to come off, if we want to step into freedom, we need to be singing. We need to be a people who sing and keep on singing. Paul and Silas sang in an unsingable situation. Jesus and the disciples sang in an unsingable situation. What about us? Can we sing in an unsingable situation? Well, in our own strength, the answer is probably no. But that's why Paul said to the church in Ephesus, this is how I could sing. I was filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, he says. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself and making music to the Lord in your hearts. That's why personal encounter moments with God are critical in our life. That's what I'm certain 2020 was all about, and God isn't finished yet, it seems. In 2021, we're saying, will this ever end? Another lockdown. What's the deal? Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what's going on around about us. God is still God, and He has one goal. His goal is that we would come closer to Him, that we would be intimate with Him, that we would understand that it's not about the things around about us, it's about Him. If we're going to declare the glory of God, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We won't be filled with the Holy Spirit unless we draw near to Him and cry out like they did in the upper room, Lord, come. Lord, do a miracle. We need you to fill our city with your glory. And it says the tongues of fire fell on the heads of those in the upper room, and they began to speak in other languages. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they left and went to the marketplace, something supernatural happened. It was like a shaking. It was like an earthquake. I think in that upper room, they didn't only pray. I reckon they sang and they sang and they sang, and God did a miracle. And that's what He wants to do in 2021 for us as a people. Come on, let's press into Him. Let's press into Him. We've been given a new song in Christ. We've been given a new song in Christ. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3 says this. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire, and He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He's given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in God. How will many see and be amazed? How will many turn to God? Because the Lord has followers who pray and sing. The Lord has followers who are willing to press into God in the tough times and rejoice at how God has saved us. How in the world that is shaky, there is a rock that is solid. It's Jesus. And that if we put our feet on that rock, if we build on that rock, we will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord when God's people are declaring His glory. When God's people are bearing witness to Christ wherever they are. The outflow of the Spirit of God in us. The same anointing that was on Jesus is upon us. The same Spirit that raised Him from the dead dwells within us. This is how people see. This is how people know when God's people declare His glory. We should encourage each other with the song that's in our hearts. Whether you sing, whether you speak the lyrics, it doesn't matter. What's God put in your heart? What's the song that He's put in your heart? It's a new song. It's a song of salvation. It's a song of freedom. It should be coming out of our lips. It should be coming forth from our life and all that we do and say. Let's declare His glory in this day. Pour your Spirit out, Lord.
A holy anointing.
We need you, Jesus.
The power of your presence.
Pour your Spirit out.
Pour your Spirit out.
It's our prayer, Jesus.
Pour your Spirit out. We need a fresh. We need a fresh wind.
We do, Lord Jesus.
The fragrance of heaven. Pour your Spirit out.
Would you do that in every home today,
pour
Lord,
your
right
Spirit
now?
Out. A holy anointing,
oh, Lord. Let your anointing fill every living room. Fill the hearts of every person who's connecting to you right now. Spirit of God, touch us. Maybe you're part of our live stream service today. You're feeling distant from God. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Him. You haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior. You can do that right where you are. You don't need to be in any special place, because it's not about a place. It's about Jesus. And He's with you right now. You can just reach out in faith and say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me from my sins. Thank you that you are cleansing me, that you're giving me a fresh start. And I want to walk with you. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my guide. I want you to direct my path. I want to fulfill my God-given destiny. You can just say those kind of words. God hears your prayer. He will answer you. For all of us, whether we're new to faith or whether we've been a Christian for 50 years, we all need to pursue a fresh wind blowing. Let that wind blow into your life. The Spirit of God refresh you, renew you. We don't have to sing old songs. He will give us a new song. He'll put a new song in our heart. Not just if we're saved today, but just to walk with Him. He wants to give us a new song every day. And so, Lord, I pray for all those reaching out in faith to receive You as their Savior. Would You minister to them right now? May they sense Your presence. May they sense Your love. May they sense that cleansing power of the Holy Spirit in their life right now. Lord, for all of us, we want to be those who have a new song on our lips, declaring the goodness and the wonder and the glory of Almighty God, that many will see and be amazed and acknowledge who You are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You know, if you would like to know more about following Jesus, or maybe you prayed that prayer and you're not sure what to do next, would you email us at melbourne@dreambuilders.church. melbourne@dreambuilders.church. Would you email us? We would love to make contact with you and just to be able to talk to you more about reaching out to Him in faith. Can I also say to our church family, you know, as Karen's mentioned, through our small groups, we believe that there will be encounter. We don't just have fellowship and connection with one another, but we actually connect with God in the context of small groups. And I just believe that God's going to do something significant. And maybe you're not part of a small group. You're not part of one of our connect groups. Would you email us too at melbourne@dreambuilders.church this week? Karen and I would love to hear from you. We'd love to connect you with one of our connect leaders and connect facilitators. And we just know that God's going to do something significant in our small groups and corporate worship times as well as we press in to God. God is with us. He's with you right now in your home. He's going to be with you throughout the rest of this day and the rest of this lockdown. We trust it will be ending when they said it is. But whenever that is, it doesn't matter. The Lord's not leaving us. The Lord is with us. He's with you right now. And I pray God's blessing on your life where you are. Thank you for joining us today at Dream Builders Church. And I can tell you, we will be here next week also. I'm praying that we'll be able to have people in the building. But either way, we're going to be live streaming. And so God bless you. We look forward to what God's going to do in us and through us as we declare His glory.